I promise, Children's Church is not normally scary. This is the time of year and where it tends to be very difficult for me as a preacher. We go into this kind of time of the ordinary season, kind of like in August and September, where the lectionary just kind of feels like giving you all these really difficult texts that you would never choose for yourself to preach on. And to be honest, when I first read through this week's lessons, I thought, okay, we're finally through that period. And until reading through it some more and realizing, even though a lot of these are familiar to me and I can remember preaching on them a number of times, like this is one of the hardest sets of readings for me to kind of prepare for this morning. And it's because I don't know if there's anything in the church that we fight about or debate about more than the law, which is what these readings are talking about, right? There's this idea in the church of, and especially you'll hear from me, I have tattoos on my arms about this very idea that there is the law and the gospel, right? There's that which is good for teaching and reproof and for encouragement, right? The way we ought to live, the way we ought to be, right? But we fall short of that. You know, we fall short of that reality, and in the face of that, there is God's grace and the righteousness declared upon us. And if you're around St. David's and me for more than like 5 minutes, you know that my understanding of this is that it's not that we are trying to fight to be just good enough, you know, God willing, when we kind of face judgment, we'll be 50.1% righteous and 49.9% evil, right? Like, it's not how I think the gospel portrays it. I don't think that's what Jesus is about or what Christianity is about. It's about understanding that in the midst of our need, in the midst of our, in the ways in which we fail and hurt those around us and hurt ourselves, there is a God who looks at us and declares us righteous by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, there is no need of fear. There is freedom to live and to be who God has created us to be without having to worry about messing it up, without having to worry about making some mistake that will have eternal consequences, because our God has taken care of everything for us. That the message from Jesus on the cross that it is finished is a true thing and something that we can take heart and confidence in. But that doesn't change the fact that we have plenty of readings and plenty of discussion through the scriptures about the law and what the law means, how we ought to be, right? And I struggle with it because everyone thinks they're right, it seems, right? You can go to almost any church, any place of worship, and there are some kind of house rules, right? There's some kind of way in which you kind of pick up over the course of maybe a couple months or years the way you're kind of expected to be and to live, the things you're supposed to be in support of and the things you're supposed to be against. And I can't help but find that throughout our church, you can find people on every single point of the spectrum of politics and of morality and ethics and everything in between. The law of God is complicated. We do not have it figured out. I cannot simply go through and tell you all the things you ought and ought not to do because it's difficult, it's confusing. It's overwhelming at times. And so as I was reflecting on this, thinking about this, like the story of the unjust judge, right? Like, you know, which kind of makes me feel like, well, just keep pestering God because God's righteous. And if this judge who's unjust is going to grant this lady's wish because she pesters him too much, maybe God will give you what you want if you just hassle him enough, right? I remember growing up, that's exactly what I thought about this passage. But that can't possibly be what this is about, right? And I don't think it is. And then you have this this passage about all scripture being useful for teaching and for God's and for reproof, right? And you have to and I have to keep coming to that because there are certainly parts of scripture that I would much rather spend my time focusing on than others. we've read some of those in the last month here in church. But the reality is we have to remember that all scripture is here for us. Now, please keep in mind that when this was written, right, the letter to Timothy wasn't part of scripture, right? The scripture they're talking about is the Old Testament, the part we like to read less than the New Testament. That's the scripture that that the author of Timothy is talking about, that Paul is talking about. And so what do we do with this? What do we do with these difficult things? You know, what do we do with, you know, laws to not eat shellfish and to, like, when we dig our latrine to make it down, you know, downstream from camp or whatever? I mean, like, you know, there's all kinds of stuff in there. What are we to do with it? And as I've gone over and over and thought back and forth, I've really focused on this passage from Jeremiah, this idea that God will write the law on our hearts. And no longer do you need to say to someone, know the Lord, because that will be within us. And the more I do this work, the more I stand up here, the more I spend time with you, and in particular with people that want nothing to do with the church, I find more and more evidence of this idea of the law of the reality of God being written on people's hearts. The number of people that I run into that have kind of been burned by something in the church, and they're like, I just don't want anything to do with that. You know, whatever it is, whether it's being rejected or being feeling judged or cast out in some way or another. I've met all these people that feel like the church is not a place where they are welcome, where they want to be. And yet when I have conversations with them about everything that I believe, just, you know, avoiding the buzzwords of the Christian church, like, we're not far off. I mean, there is a yearning in almost everyone I meet to know the truth, to find a connection with the people around them, to understand what love means and how to love more fully and in a more healthy way, in a more compassionate, empathetic way, how to be who God has created us to be. It's everywhere. I see it all over the place. In fact, the times I see it the least are times when we as the church are trying to do the right thing in the face of what that law on our hearts is calling us into, if that makes sense. I spent a lot of time growing up kind of doing things that when I look back and think about it, were not very loving, but I was convinced I was doing it because of the love of God. You know, I knew better. I knew right. I had read the scriptures. I knew what the law was. I knew what was right and what was wrong, and it was my job to tell everyone that and make sure they knew it. And it didn't really matter if they believed me, because it was my job just to tell them. And whether they believed it or not wasn't my responsibility, right? I am utterly convinced that is not what God is calling us to. God is not calling us to stand in a street corner and browbeat people with the truth and let them just decide if they want it or not. Our job is to display and to live into the truth with the people that we encounter and the people that we meet, with one another and with those outside these walls, that people might know what it means to be loved, that people might know what it means to not be judged by the things they do and don't do, but to know that they have intrinsic value written into their soul because they are a creature of God, a child of God. That's what we get to do, and I find that exciting. The number of times I remember being terrified to go out and kind of evangelize when I was part of, like, you know, doing a youth group thing or doing something in college, you know, where the expectation was I'm going to go to a coffee shop and sit down with a stranger and, like, tell them about Jesus. That was mortifying to the introverted part of me and the shy part of me. But I felt like I was supposed to do it because that was my job. And yet I find myself over and over again running into people because they're just a part of my life. They're a part of the places I go and the people I spend time with. And I get to have conversations with them. And they're floored every time when they find out I'm a priest. They're floored every time when, like, I talk to them and they don't think I'm crazy. And they're like, wait, that's not how this works. I know how the church works. You know, I read the paper, I hear everything in the news. Christians are crazy. So what's wrong with this? And it throws enough cognitive dissonance for them to start thinking about maybe what it is we're really about. You see, because when God says, I'm going to write the law in your hearts, I go back to the first law. Right before there was anything written on stone tablets by Moses, before Deuteronomy and Leviticus were put together and the law, you know, the 623 or 523, I can never remember the number. Like, there's like 500 or 600 laws, right, that have been distilled out of the Old Testament, out of the Hebrew scriptures. Before any of that was written down, before any of that was put into practice, God created us, looked at us, and said it was very good. If you remember nothing else from my sermon or from coming to worship here this morning, please remember that God's first law that was written on your hearts, the first thing that all of this is about, is to remind you and to convince you that you are very good. That's it. Everything else flows out of that. I believe everything that we do and grow as Christians, as human beings, is getting more and more comfortable with the reality that God loves us. And God has created us, and God is calling us into new life. I don't know what your experience is exactly, but I know, even with this message and hearing it week after week from my own mouth, right, and the week spent preparing for the sermon, no matter how many times I hear it, there are still voices in me that compare myself to someone else or make me feel like I wish I was more like that, or what am I doing that I'm not, you know, that I or St. David's doesn't look more like this. I still do it. I don't know if you compare yourself to the people around you. Or maybe it's the other side, right? You just compare yourself and you think, you know, I'm in such a better place than these people that are around me. I don't know. But I know that kind of comparison is crushing. And I know what it leads to is this world being robbed of who you are and who God created you to be in it. God has created you. God has looked at what God has created and said, you are very good. You are my children. I love you. Now go and share that love in the world. That's what this whole thing, I believe, is about. It's so easy to get caught up in all the other stuff. And I'm all for it. Let's sit in the scriptures. Let's debate the law. Let's debate how all this works and discuss it. But please let us not get to a place where we feel like we can't be in the same room as each other because the other person's wrong. We've done enough destruction in our pews and in our churches over that. You know, we've got, what, 20,000 denominations in the United States now? I think we've had enough of fighting over the law, at least for my lifetime. I lived through the split in the Episcopal Church. I'm here because 90% of this church left over an issue of theology. The one thing I've learned is that we're not going to get to the bottom of it in this life. And we can keep getting into fights and dividing over it. We can keep walking away from one another. Or we can step back and try day in and day out to hear the voice of God that says, you are good, you are loved. Come and learn to love one another. Learn what it's like to actually hear the other, to hear what someone is saying, why they disagree with you, why they have a different position than you. This is the one place that I know of, that I spend time in, where Democrats and Republicans still find a way to talk to each other. And I don't want that to change. We live in an incredibly polarized time, and I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather together and to be in the same place. And yeah, we might get into big fights if we decided to talk about politics over coffee hour every week. I'm not saying that's the direction we need to go, but what I am saying is that there's a reason why we can look at each other and maybe not be sure what the other person thinks about politics or what they believe. We can share a cup of coffee and discuss, hug each other, shake hands at the peace, and know that there is something else that draws us together, something bigger that holds us in this place, that draws us to this table, because no matter how many times we as a church divide over this stuff, that altar remains the same. There is one. It is God's altar. It is not ours. And no matter what we do, we can't divide what God has given us. And we will always be, know that you will always be invited into what God is doing in this place and in the church at large. God's grace and love is for you. You are beautiful and you are wonderful and you are lovable and you are forgivable. As Christians, I pray that we would learn to take responsibility for the things that we do wrong, to repent of those things and to seek and to live into the love that has been placed in our hearts. To let that love overflow and minister to the people and to the world around us. Because I guarantee that will transform and continue to transform our community, our culture, and our world. Again, as I close, I just can't help, and you hear this from me all the time, right? So I know I sound like a broken record, but I just want the first place that you go in your mind, anytime you've made a mistake or you start beating yourself up about something or you start feeling insecure or worried about something, I hope you can hear my voice say that you are loved, that you are good, that you are very good. If you forget everything else about this morning, I pray that that works its way in there somewhere. Because what God has declared over us is righteousness. We are not judged by God in the way that I think we fear. And we don't need to judge ourselves for the same reason. Do we need to take responsibility for our actions? Absolutely. Do we do things we shouldn't? Absolutely. But that doesn't change how God sees you and how God loves you and your place and your worth here. So I invite you to go out into the world in blessing and peace, in love and righteousness, to share that which has been written on your hearts, that deep down you know to be true, as children of God, to share that love and that peace wherever you go. And may you be fortified and encouraged by coming to this table. Please know that whether you're visiting or you've been here forever, that you are welcome at this table. If you want to be a part of our communion, please come and join us. Please come and let that be a part of the sacrament of the sealing of God's voice over you that you are loved. You are all invited to participate and be a part of it. And may it strengthen you and encourage you to go out into this world and to share that everywhere you go. Amen.